You know, there was a vote in the House yesterday. You failed to be able to override President Obama's veto of a bill that would take care of funding for Planned Parenthood. I know that's something that has been very important to you and to many members of the House. But talk a little bit about that vote yesterday and what that means.
Let me start off with a little background behind this. As you're aware, earlier this year, we passed a bill to repeal Obamacare and to stop funding for Planned Parenthood and to stop the parts of all of the funding for Planned Parenthood. And the president, we use the tool called reconciliation. The president vetoed that bill, which passed the House and the Senate. And so now, yesterday, the House attempted to override it. We needed 285 votes, or two-thirds of the membership of the House, to do it. But the Democrats locked up behind the president, and we were only able to get about 241 votes instead of the 285 we needed. What this shows, though, is that for the first time, after multiple attempts to repeal Obamacare, we were actually able to get something to the president's desk using a congressional tool, and that one's called reconciliation. And so that's the first thing it shows. We can use the tool. Congress can reflect the will of the American people and repeal it. And it shows that if we get the right person in the White House in 2017, then we can repeal they would support us and affirm our bill to repeal Obamacare. So it shows that we're on the right track.
The problem is, though, again, it goes to the Senate, and there's just no sense of urgency to do that. I mean, characterize the situation in the Senate for us.
Well, on this one, they did a good job. I have to say this. When the House passed its reconciliation bill to take care of Obamacare, it was watered down more than I liked. And, you know, I was one of the folks in the background sort of raising heck saying, hey, we can do better. But fortunately, the Senate stood up and did it the correct way. And then it got over 51 votes, which is what it needed, and sent it to the White House. So I think that if we wind up with Republicans in control of the Senate next year, and have a conservative in the White House, we're in exactly the same shape that we are now, except that we have a president that will affirm what we're trying to do. So we're better off. So I think the Senate, again, as long as we have 51 Republicans next year, we should be in great shape to do what the American people have asked us to do to get rid of this terrible law.
Well, also yesterday, you approved legislation that would restrict the president's ability to lift sanctions under the international nuclear deal with Iran. Talk about that.
Yes, and we believe, you know, we in the House still believe that Iran is a rogue nation, and that it's a sponsor of worldwide terrorism. It is accumulating large stockpiles of low-grade enriched uranium. It still continues its ballistic missile program. It has fired ballistic missiles in the neighborhood of our naval vessels. It improperly imprisoned our sailors a couple of weeks ago. And so we don't believe sanctions should be lifted, so we're trying to impose new ones. Now, this is where the Senate is likely to have an issue, because it's hard for me to believe that we'll get enough Democrats to get to 60 votes so that they can consider this bill on the floor of the Senate. This is the one. This is a situation where the 19th century filibuster rules are upholding or stopping the ability of Congress to deal with 21st century problems, and a president that's just lawless.
You know, the president did something unusual for him yesterday. He met with the Speaker of the House and the Senate Majority Leader to talk about some of the issues before Congress. This has kind of been a rarity in his two terms.
Yes, that's correct. His congressional outreach to both parties has just been terrible. I mean, if you talk to the Democrats, they're just as frustrated about his inability to work with Congress as Republicans are. I can see why he'd attempt to ignore us, but you'd think he'd work with his own party. That said, first of all, I'm part of the Speaker's Advisory Council, as you know. We've mm-hmm. got two Texans on it, both Aggies, by the way. We met with Speaker Ryan after the lunch, and the readout from that meeting was that the president reiterated all of his liberal ideology, and Ryan pushed back by talking about the way that the conservative viewpoints are the path forward for the American people: more opportunity, more jobs, lowering the deficit, having a strong national defense, getting rid of Obamacare, and so on. And so there was certainly not a meeting of the minds. I asked Paul, I said, did the president lecture to you? And he said, yes, but I lectured back.
Oh, all right.
And so Paul, I think, did a great job of expressing the conservative viewpoints, I'm sure.
Congressman Bill Flores joining us from D.C. Well, another thing that's happening is, and I don't know that Speaker Boehner would have done this, but today the Speaker of the House is meeting over at the Heritage Foundation, and he's giving an address over there. And again, characterize that, because that's kind of a different move, is it not?
Well, yes, it is. And actually, Paul has been trying to do a great job of reaching out to conservative groups so that we could all get back in the same tent and remember that the enemy of freedom and economic opportunity and national security is not ourselves. The enemy is the liberal ideology and the people that try to press it. And so so what he's trying to do is bind us together so that we're all fighting for the same cause instead of fighting each other. And so I'm really pleased to see these over there. I'm also on one of the panels as well. We're going to be talking about the state of the conservative movement. So I'm on there with a group of five conservative House members. I'm really excited about the opportunity to talk about how we can work together to retake the White House, to keep Congress in conservative hands, and then what our aspirational agenda would be once we get all those put together. And I'm really excited about it, and I applaud Paul for going over there to reach out to try to bind all of us together.
Oftentimes we talk about it, that this may be the last chance the Republicans have to get it right, and if they don't, it may be a long, long time before you get another chance. Now, you were back in the district for a while. Talk a little bit about the economy here in Texas. People are concerned. Obviously, we're hit hard here in the Brazos Valley, not as hard as some other areas, with the downturn in the oil patch that looks like it's going to be going on for a while. But economically, what was your sense here of the district?
Well, it was more concern about the economy than it was angst, I guess. I think there are a lot of people that are concerned how is the decline in oil prices going to hit us at home in the Brazos Valley and up in Central Texas. And so I didn't sense a lot of anxiousness, but I did sense concern. And so I think what this does is it motivates us more than ever that we've got to try to push forward policies to get us out of this Obama growth mode of less than 2% per year and move to a Reagan-esque model of something closer to 4% per year. We'd put millions more people to work if we could do that. We'd get more revenues to reduce the deficit. We'd have better paychecks for hardworking families. We'd have a better regulatory environment. I mean, the benefits of having a Reagan economic model are just huge. And so I've always been motivated by that desire to have that sort of an economic model, and the conversations I had with our Brazos Valley neighbors confirmed that moving forward. Again, this is one of those situations where we got to get the right person in the White House, and we got to make sure we're working together to do that instead of working against each other. If we do that, you're going to see us in the House roll out a great agenda on national security, economic opportunity, in restoring our Article I powers for Congress. I think the American people are going to be real excited about what we've got coming.
Anything else on the agenda this week in Congress we need to know about?
No, that's really it. We've got some bills to deal with the capital markets, which some of the rules that the SEC uses are out of date, and so we have a bill on the floor this week to try to fix those to reflect where we are in the 21st century. But that's really it for now.
Congressman Bill Flores joins us most every Wednesday. You can hear the interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Scott, it was great to visit with you. We'll look forward to visiting with you next week. I'd ask our listeners to continue praying for our country and our military men and women. Also, next week I want to talk about the folks that we nominated to the service academies, a bright young group of men and women in high school that I think are going to serve our country well.
We'll do that. Thanks for the time.